Support for That Trippy Show comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is the only software your business will ever need. Featuring a suite of integrated business applications, Odoo connects your business operations together so you get more done in less time. Odoo has apps for everything: CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, marketing, manufacturing, you name it. Odoo's got it. To learn more, visit odoo.com/trippy. That's odoo.com/trippy. Hey everybody, it's Joe Trippy and welcome back to That Trippy Show. This week, tons to get into. We haven't really talked about the Trump trial much, but today we will. What kind of ripple effects is it already having? The latest on RFK Jr.'s spoiler campaign. And yes, there are still primaries happening. Why a few numbers out of Pennsylvania should have Team Trump very worried. Alex, where should we get started?
It's weird that we haven't talked about the Trump trial much. I think it's because everything happens on like late on a Thursday or on a Friday or something else blows up at the time. But we're now like a week and a half into it at this point when most people listen to this. And you had said before the trial started, and you said this repeatedly.
I say a lot of things repeatedly, evidently.
Well, you made the point that the trials are actually really going to hurt Trump. And they clearly weren't at the time, but now that they're going, are we starting to see that even though we're only like a week and a half into the first of what will likely be many?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, a couple of things. First, you all got Sleepy Don now. He, you know, the reports that he continues to fall asleep, daily reports that he's, you know, dozing off or closing his eyes and leaning back and appears to be asleep, you know, all these kinds of reports, which I think, you know, kind of makes it tough. Yeah, I think Rick Wilson and others have pointed this out better than me, but makes it tough for Don to keep up the Sleepy Joe meme that he started. And, you know, that's getting. And then the other thing is, you know, the act now is getting really old where he walks out front of the cameras and does the same, you know, pretty much the same routine day in and day out every time he's walking in or out of the courtroom. I did notice today that one of the weirdest things is Boris Epstein. He walked into court as one of Donald Trump's lawyers today, or part of his legal team part of the team that walked in with Trump. At the same time, he was indicted today in Arizona he's under indictment. One of the, I think, 18 people indicted on trying to steal
the election the false election stuff. It's wild.
You know, you've got this crazy stuff happening. By the way, I didn't see any, you know, of all the breathless coverage of the trial today, I didn't see anybody on air mention that one of the guys walking into court today with Donald Trump was indicted this morning in Arizona for election, you know, for messing with the election. For violating election integrity and trying to deal with illegal electors. So anyway, but yeah, this is definitely going to hurt. Again, it's the contrast. I think every day you know people are reminded of the stuff that they've somehow forgotten about 4 years and, you know, the 4 years and chaos of the Trump presidency. There are a lot of characters that are going to appear in this trial that are going to be. Remind a lot of people of that time. And, you know, you're still getting, you know, I think the rest of us, I mean, Lincoln Project, the Biden campaign and others are also doing a good job of reminding people about, you know, bleach and injections and other stupid, crazy stuff. That
4 years ago, yeah, this week.
Yes, you know? So I think all that is sort of the trials are sort of, you know, driving this back into people's memory banks. At the same time, you know, you saw Biden go down to Florida, give him, you know, address where, you know, you've got the IVF ban happening in Alabama and that crisis that caused the Arizona law on abortion going back to 1864. And in Florida, you obviously have the 6-week ban that that DeSantis signed, and Biden's going went down to Florida, spoke out on abortion. It's going to be on the ballot in Florida. I don't know if they're really going to contest it, but my point is he's on the campaign in swing states and actually fighting for votes in Florida, while where Donald Trump is, you know, basically stands out, you know, with a crowd barrier in front of him to stop him from, you know, walking any closer to the press. It has to just stand there by himself and do his thing. I think that contrast is going to get pretty old for Trump pretty fast. And all of this, I think, you know, you're seeing it in the polls now a little bit. You know, and you pointed this out a couple of times ago, you know, we got to keep remembering that a third of Republicans have said they would not vote for Trump if he's convicted. Now, he's not convicted yet, but this goes down to like why you don't pay attention to the actual head-to-head. It's what, is there any movement? Is there something happening? So the new Quinnipiac poll now finds that 60% of voters see, and this is one of the things that drives me nuts, see the hush money charges against Trump as serious.
It's not hush money.
Right.
It's election interference.
But even when, they use the phrase hush money trial, 60% of voters see it as a serious, those charges are serious. And this includes 60% of independents and 55% of non-college whites. That's one of Trump's best demographics, 55% of non-college. It's his strongest part of the base. They all believe the hush money charges, again, hush money in quotes, are serious.
Do you think, by the way, if we called it the election interference trial, do you think those numbers would change? Like, I actually think they might actually go down a little bit.
Yeah, who knows? Whites. But I just think, I mean, look, you know, it's CNN, all the, they keep calling it hush money trial. I don't think, as much as the prosecution in court wants to make this the election interference trial, and in court, they may be able to do that, you know, because the jurors are not, hopefully are not watching CNN's breathless coverage, but I still think this is clear signs that the cracks are just starting to happen. You're starting to see this contrast, which we always talked about, that the contrast between what Trump was and what Biden's been able to accomplish, particularly with the bipartisan vote for supporting Ukraine when Trump's tried to stop that. Things like that, I think, are starting to really add up, and you're starting to see the cracks, even not just with swing voters, but even some doubts starting to rise in the Trump base, I think.
You know, Joe, it's interesting you mentioned the base, but the independent thing is pretty real at this point. And we talked about last week how a ton of polls are moving in Joe Biden's direction. It's been a little noisier this week, but still the underlying numbers. I'll give you one example. In the Marist poll that I actually think the president tweeted about, if I'm not mistaken,
yes,
or maybe
he
talked about it at a rally this week. Yeah. But it was Trump with independents, 52-45, so that's a 7-point lead. They're tied now. And like those kinds of massive shifts outside the margin of error with some of these groups are really, really
important. And it's also why the whole head-to-head thing doesn't really matter. It's this kind of movement within a crosstab. Look underneath the hood. Don't look at the, you know, the national head-to-head number or even the statewide head-to-head number in and of itself means very little. And the press and pundits, you know, that's the only number they ever look at. When you look at what's happening with, you know, the movement that's happening with independents and even, you know, people who had unfavorable opinions of both candidates, you know, Trump was up in that poll.
The double haters. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he was up 54-39, up 15 points before. And now he's losing them since the trial started and everything. He's losing them by 2. That's a 17-point swing of double haters. He's now behind Biden, 50-48 among that group. And so you start looking at these different things that are moving. You may only see like a few point swing, you know, in the actual head to head number. But again, when you see those kind of numbers moving and you look at, you know, again, we keep going back to this, but you look at, you know, all the polls and the pundits yapping about how, you know, we're not, Biden's not getting 95% of black voters. He's getting, you know, he's getting 70 something or Latinos and young voters. The you know, I still believe Biden's going to get a lot of that base vote back between now and November, which means if these independents are already moving, if the double haters are starting to move, you know, watch out. I think, you know, the numbers are going to close within the Democratic base. That's going to expand for Biden. And it's going to be a bigger, you know, it's going to be fascinating as the numbers start to widen a little bit. How's Trump react to that when he's stuck in court every day?
Support for That Trippy Show comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is the only software your business will ever need. Featuring a suite of integrated business applications, Odoo connects your business operations together so you get more done in less time. Odoo has apps for everything: CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, marketing, manufacturing, you name it. Odoo's got it. To learn more, visit odoo.com/trippy. That's odoo.com/trippy.
Well, and you saw he's been tweeting things like nearly every poll or just about every poll has me, you know, clearly ahead, because he clearly watches them probably more than anybody in America.
I think
more than just about anybody. Name one person who watches the polls more than Trump.
Harry Anton.
Yeah, okay. Fair. That's his job.
Okay.
He's good at it. Yeah. Well, speaking of the polls, and I saw this on Twitter. I will go find and in the show notes we'll thank you for it. But there was a question that was basically like, isn't it a good thing all the polls have Joe Biden behind at this point for kind of stoking Democratic enthusiasm? Like, keep us playing like we're behind and not choking away a lead, so to speak.
No, we are behind. And we should, there's nothing sneaky about it. We're behind. No, I think that it's like I was just talking about. We are behind where we need to be with the Democratic base. That's a good place to be, only because that traditionally, and I don't care if you're Barack Obama, Joe Biden, any of the nominees that we've nominated in the past, the base on our side solidifies towards the end. And I think that's likely to happen again. There are some tough issues that we have to contend with, but I do think those ranks will close. And I think Trump will help make that happen because he's going to continue to do things like talk about mass deportation and detention camps, and I'm sure we'll have more than our share of racially divisive attacks that he's going to do. So in the end, I think the base will come back, and that's why, yes, we're behind. We have to do that work. We have to reach those communities. We have to get people out. But that's the only way to think about the race. It's much better to be, to be in a position where you know you've got to be aggressive. You know you got to go out for every vote. And that's how you run through the tape and leave nothing on the playing field.
So let's talk about another poll. I know this is kind of a poll-heavy show, but let's go to RFK. So this is one that everyone, I think, scratched their heads at a little bit, if you haven't been following too closely. NBC News, new poll. Trump's up 46-44 nationally in the head-to-head. But then when you add in third parties, it actually switches that Biden ends up being up too. So this poll claims that somehow the extremist spoiler candidate somehow takes more away from the extremist guy than he does for Biden. That's just total BS, yeah. Right?
I mean, I'm not saying that they didn't find that number, that they cooked it or anything, but it's crazy 7 months out, you know, whatever we are now, to continue to make these kind of, looks at things. The reality is every bit of real research I've seen, independent research, focus groups, polling shows, and common sense says that Donald Trump could knock somebody out, literally shoot him on Fifth Avenue, and his base would shrug and say he must have had a good reason. We say that often on this show, but that's the truth. They're not, they do not move. The anti-Trump coalition, which is like 54-53% of the electorate, the Trump base is going to be 45, maybe 46. I think it's dribbled down, but we'll see. But the 54%, the anti-Trump, pro-democracy, whatever you want to call it, coalition is 54%. That's the only group that's available to Joe Biden and to all of us. I mean, in terms of who's actually got a chance of being president of the United States. Robert Kennedy Jr. is not one of those people. It's Biden. Therefore, he provides an off-ramp. And basically, and we've talked about this on the show before, these people know they don't want to vote for Trump, have problems with Biden, can be his age, could be that he's just a Democrat and they've never voted for a Democrat before in their lives, but they know they don't want to vote for Trump, that 54%. Well, now, a lot of them are already voting for Biden. That's how you get that 46-44 head-to-head that NBC's talking and reporting. But that other, so now there's, that basically leaves 10 points that are sitting out there. They're not going to vote for Trump, folks. Not going to happen. Those 10 points, Biden's at 44. If he gets them, if it's a one-on-one binary vote, this is going to be 46-52, 47-52, somewhere in there, and Biden wins. Anybody, RFK Jr., Cornel West, Jill Stein, is only taking from that 54% anti-Trump coalition, and that's the fight that Donald Trump wants, because he wants a 46-46 race. And Biden got to 51% in 2020. And I think he's on his way there again, except for the RFK Jr. and other third-party candidacies that are a threat to that. And that's why I think this is all head fake. There's no way that Steve Bannon spent months and months trying to talk RFK Jr. into running for president and then hailing him as a great VP pick for Donald Trump. There's no way that Tim Mellon, who gave millions to Donald Trump and still is, has also given tens of millions to the RFK Jr. Super PAC, supporting Super PAC. That's not an accident. The Trump people know they need a 46-46 race. There's only one or two ways, now three maybe with Jill Stein. There's only a few ways that can happen. It has to be that RFK Jr. and these other third-party candidacies are stronger than the third-party candidacies of 2020. And I think that's what they are making. This is smart operatives who work for Donald Trump, much better, much smarter than the people who worked for him in 2016 or 2020. They get this. They know what worked in 2016 when they won and got 46% of the vote. They know what didn't work when they got 46.7 and lost. And that was all, both of those were on how weak or strong third parties are. And I've said it and I'll repeat myself again, but it is not a coincidence that they know they need strong third parties and they're all of a sudden feigning, oh no, Robert Kennedy, he's a radical liberal. They're trying to make sure that the votes come off of Biden, and they will. There'll be millions of dollars spent by the RFK Jr. super PAC and the Trump campaign, Trump allies, making a big deal about he's a crazy lefty, all trying to drive votes away from Joe Biden. And by the way, you don't even have to do that, because in the end, that coalition, you only need 2-3 points. You look at what happened in these, the battleground states, thousands of, 14,000 votes here, 16,000 votes there, decide a state. Even if RFK Jr. only gets 3%, which probably what's going to happen here, you can drive him, close to the ground, that these things are going to be so close that he is the biggest threat to democracy right now and the biggest threat to putting Trump in the White House. I've said that about No Labels. We all worked and we got them out, got them to move along. I don't think RFK Jr. is gonna leave the playing field here. He's enjoying this too much. And so even at 2 or 3%, we've got to do everything we can in these battleground states to make sure people understand the vote for RFK Jr. is a vote for Donald Trump. Now, of course, Trump and Steve Bannon and the gang will start to do the head fake and say, oh, we're really worried that it hurts Trump. I think this is all a head fake before they drop millions of dollars defining him in a way that hurts Biden. And that won't be hard because it'll be the Kennedy mystique, youth versus, the two old guys. It'll be that kind of a campaign, and that's going to hurt Biden, not Trump.
Trippy, you mentioned at the top there are still primaries going on. Anything stand out at you? I think I know where you're going to go, but I think Pennsylvania was this week. What'd you see there?
Well, more of the same. And I mean by that, Nikki Haley got 17% of the vote months now after she withdrew, or several weeks after she withdrew from the race. Nearly 160,000 votes in Pennsylvania that she got over Trump in the Republican primary. And, you know, that's pretty significant because Biden won the state already, but he won it by, 44,000 votes or so. So that, you see this, I think this is part of that, you're still seeing a divide in the party. And there are people who are, 160,000 votes in that primary. These are people who came out in an election that no one knew was happening. I mean, there wasn't a big run up on any, on Fox and CNN and MSNBC and all the press.
Well, and people weren't being told to vote.
Right.
They weren't being,
that's what I'm saying.
Get out the vote didn't exist.
Nothing happened. Right. There was the 160,000 people came out in the GOP primary that no one knew was happening and voted against Donald Trump and for Nikki Haley. And my guess is, like in a lot of the other states, here's a big clue. Did you see any exit polls on this one? I didn't see any exit polls. They didn't do an exit poll. So all those other exit polls that, though, in the earlier states that had most of these people say, well, okay, she didn't win, I'll be voting for Joe Biden in the general. Guess what? That 160,000 votes, I don't think they did an exit poll, but I'm going to take an educated guess here that plenty of them are now saying, okay, well, I'm going to vote for Joe Biden. I don't like it, may not want to do it, but I'm going to vote for Joe Biden in the general election. But then the bigger one, and you keep pointing this one out, is that Nikki Haley got 38% of the vote in Bucks County. I mean, that's a county that's going to decide, how close this thing is. I mean, it's one of those kind of counties that you don't want to have problems in. And Donald Trump's got big problems there. 38% of this Republican primary in Bucks County voted for Nikki Haley. Biden won that county by 17,000 votes in 2020. I think that's going to be a bigger margin, if you look at these indicators there.
Well, and that is kind of the whole enchilada in PA then. I mean, Bucks County, one of the collar counties, it's one of the key battlegrounds every year. It's north of Philly. It's kind of got all kinds of bellwethers in it about how you'd kind of determine how the rest of the state goes.
I worked in that county year after year for Tim Holden, who held the seat that went from Harrisburg into some of Bucks County and up towards Scranton, Pottsville, and places like this. And Bucks has always been a pretty strong indicator. It's one of those counties that it's not like you don't want to call it a suburb, but it's got that kind of feel for it. It's a place that if you win Bucks County, there's a good chance you're going on to win the whole thing. And this is looking, I mean, it's just a devastating number for Trump that Haley got 38% of the vote there in the GOP primary that no one knew was even happening.
All right, one more, and then we're just about out of time, Joe. I want to get to one listener question. This is from Sarah in Oregon. She's been following the news this week. Chris Christie said in a kind of long interview, said that Team Biden hasn't reached out. Aren't they making a huge mistake? What should a campaign like Biden's be doing when it comes to reaching out to Republicans right now? And I think she means Republicans like Chris Christie.
Yeah, I think she said that. But I think the Biden campaign is I think, more focused on the issue contrast with Trump, particularly if you look at abortion, for example. Again, the issue contrast of in Alabama, the IVF ban, the court did, the in Arizona, you know, going to 1864, you got the DeSantis ban, 6-week ban in Florida. They're, I think, trying to make a real contrast right now between Trump and them, and the Biden campaign, and the difference that that will make on reproductive freedom and other issues, democracy itself. I think the end game will be to have as many Romneys and Chris Christies and others at the towards the end of this thing come out and say, I can't do it, I'm going to vote for Biden, if they'll do it. But I think it's a mistake at this point to try to go there. I think a lot of these people have to get there on their own. We've seen Chris Christie go back and forth. We've seen them all, almost all of them, you know, on one day say they're out, you know, and then start to drift back in fear of Trump. I think as Trump weakens, as Biden's lead opens up a little bit, you're going to see more confidence on the side of a lot of Republicans. But I still think in the end, we want to make it the contrast between the MAGA extreme in the party and Joe Biden and Democrats doing the work. It was us. We were the ones that got the majority to fund Ukraine. A majority of Republicans in the House voted no on funding for Ukraine. That contrast is really important. And I think having other Republicans, I mean, there's sort of this weird dissonance that happens to that argument if you're suddenly out there trying to get a bunch of Republicans to come on board. No, it's like this is the contrast we want is Donald Trump and MAGA. We want to make that contrast on what we've been able to do with the bipartisan bills, with funding Ukraine and these other things in the supplement. And then towards the end, hope with outreach and other things, and that some of them on their own, you know, I don't know what Liz Cheney's going to say or who she's going to, by the way, I mean, that's the other thing. If you have, you know, you start to muddy up your own messaging to the very Republicans that you want, to the Bannon line people, they probably have a lot of mixed feelings about Chris Christie and some of these people who were, you know, part of the Trump thing. No, I think this is make the contrast between Trump, MAGA, and what the job Joe Biden and Democrats have done. And then in the last, you know, 60 days, maybe at the convention, shock everybody with what you've been building behind the scenes that maybe none of us are aware of. But I mean, I'd much rather see it done that way than to pick them off, try to pick one off today and another one off 2 weeks from now.
Joe, I think that's a great place to end today. We're just about out of time.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to That Trippy Show. This podcast will always be free with support from our advertisers and is part of Resolute Square. So check out the latest at resolutesquare.com/trippy. Please subscribe to That Trippy Show and leave a review on Apple or wherever you listen. And also, if you're listening to this episode on YouTube, please like and subscribe to get alerts when we post the next episode. And please tell your friends to give us a listen. You can always send us a question to thattrippyshow@gmail.com or leave us a question in a review on iTunes. We'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody. Take care.